Downtown Association also told David Sullivan that they would be opening up a phone for homeless people to use to call these numbers to see if there actually was space available. This wasn't just some sort of upfront fig leaf or PR number. And that hasn't happened. And instead, we still see these little cards available in some of the shops. We still see the sign, real change, not spare change, when they're not really talking about change at all. The only change they want is the absence of poor and homeless people from the downtown area. The absence, specifically, of panhandlers. And I guess Silva has been renegotiating or recontacted Kelly, and Kelly told Silva that people had better appreciate this real change, not spirit change program, or else a harsher repression is going to follow. They're going to press for other alternatives. But if people protest the idea of publicizing and glorifying selfishness and stinginess, as this does, and if people call the merchants to task for putting out phony numbers and not taking responsibility for what they're doing, then the merchants are going to respond with more punitive measures, presumably more security, police. Maybe they'll do what San Francisco on Haight Street has done, where you see no trespassing signs up and down the area. Again, this attempt to privatize public spaces is quite outrageous and actually probably illegal or unconstitutional, in that public walkways are meant for everybody and you cannot turn them into a private mall or promenade, much as you want to, unless you want to actually privatize the whole area. And this, of course, was done to some extent by the Neil Coonerty Bookshop Santa Cruz owner and former city council member's law in 1994, which made street cafes private-ish type areas so that they can lay their furniture debris all over the sidewalk and charge people for sitting there and drive away people who are not paying at those places, even though it's on public property. And not only that, but drive away people who are sitting on the sidewalk or, let's say, performing a musical instrument there, and even drive away people who are circulating petitions. I mean, it's quite amazing and quite outrageous. But that is the Neil Coonerty Kennedy Law, also voted by Rotkin, also voted by our great liberal Catherine Byers. Celia Scott wasn't on the council in 1994. But she hasn't introduced any measure to reverse it. So we must assume that there's a council, if not unanimously agreed, at least not too interested in making any changes in the current business status quo. An incident happened in Berkeley that I'd like to describe for you, and actually I may have some of it on tape. It had to do with a rather befuddled and cantankerous street guy who was sitting at the Cafe Mid, which is a long time cafe, been there for 20 or 30 years more probably, on Telegraph Avenue, four blocks from University of California at Berkeley, which is sort of the student strip, and also a lot of different communities of people, homeless people, merchants. Actually, Berkeley has a system of rotating street merchants, where you have really one of the largest street merchant scenes in California. It happens every day, and it's quite usual to see the entire sidewalk taken up with a lot of street merchants. Anyway, this fellow was sitting at the Cafe Med, and there were complaints that he should move on because he hadn't paid anything. He hadn't bought anything. And he explained, and the police eventually came and handcuffed him and took him away. His crime was, of course, sitting down at this chair at the outside area on the sidewalk, a chair indeed owned by the Mediterranean Cafe, but on public property, on the sidewalk. And he was rousted, taken away, and actually the people around there, other than myself, visiting activist Beggar Becker Becky Johnson, and local activist Cornerstone Carol Denny of the People's Park Defense Committee, plus attorney David Beauvais, or Bedrock Beauvais, as I call him. We all watched this, and we were upset about what was going on, but local other homeless people and other customers thought it was just fine because the guy, even though he wasn't being abusive or loud or anything, hadn't paid his what they saw it as his fair share. And then I learned that they wouldn't serve the guy because of allegedly an obscene comment he'd made earlier in the day to a female patron. And I was kind of at a loss as to how to view this until I heard the argument very well put from Attorney Beauvais, who said, look, these are public spaces, and we may not like how people act in terms of their verbal speech, but as long as they're not being abusive or threatening, as long as they're not battering or assaulting us, we all have to be here, and we have to, you know, show a certain fundamental tolerance, particularly in these times when there are more and more poor people. He actually didn't say all of this, but this is some of the message that came across to me. And he said further that, you know, the city is, this is city property, and you're telling people that they cannot even be there unless they're willing to pay a toll, pay a fee, pay a ransom to the restaurant in question. And that kind of struck home to me. And it's true in Santa Cruz, increasingly true, as you see all the buildings being built up and all the barren fences in front of empty lots going. That makes for a nice look to the city, but what that means is that now the sit law, which makes it illegal to sit within 10 feet from any store window, goes into effect everywhere up and down the mall. And it provides for less and less places for people to publicly congregate, for people to be, and more excuses for police to harass poor people. What does that harassment feel like? Well, let's return to Berkeley and the case of this fellow sitting at the Mediterranean Cafe. Here's a bit of how he got it.
They want you to move on your own accord. I understand that you're refusing to leave. They're going to sign a citizen's arrest.
Who is?
These people inside here gave us a call.
What is it?
You don't know what a citizen's arrest
is? No, I don't.
Okay. Under California law, a private person has the right to arrest another person for violence.
What was the nature of the arrest?
Sir, what I want you to do is to stand up, please.
Is that an order?
Yes, I'm commanding you to stand up right now, sir. You're under arrest. Stand up, please.
Sir, for the first time,
I'm going to ask you very politely. Stand up, please.
Yes.
Do me a favor. Keep your hands out of your pocket and turn around for me, please. Thank you very much. Behind your back, please.
But do you give me my rights? You're sort of touching my body. Is that my right that you can do that?
He has a right to do
that. I'm resisting arrest.
What's my right now? Sir, do you have anything sharp in your pockets? Any weapons? I have
a nail clipper. Nail clipper that I have something to clean under the nails.
And where is this nail clipper?
In the right pocket.
Right pocket? Your pants pocket, sir?
Yeah, right pants.
Okay, can you do me a favor and spread your feet, please?
Yes.
If you want, will you step this way?
Funny how you don't even know when you break the law. Maybe there's too many laws.
And he's been taken away. Though admittedly, the officer did spend 5 minutes trying to get him to move. He didn't want to move. And the people inside the cafe wanted him to move. He wasn't buying anything. He was sitting there.
So yeah, you've got to talk to the owners of the cafe.
Yeah.
It's not the cops, you know. New ownership.
New ownership and new order. Actually, it's pretty much an old order, but who knows. Again, I don't think that police should be permitted to remove people from areas in front of the cafe. If the cafe wants to put out chairs on the sidewalk, it does so at its own risk. There is the argument, and it still has a persuasive feel that the cafe has to have some way of getting people to move on, even though the area is a public area, because otherwise, why should they put those chairs out at all? Why would they be involved? It could be, you know, city seating, but certainly the private sector would not want to do that unless they were making something off of it. Do you have any thoughts on this? I want to register your views as to whether and how businesses should be able to do this in public spaces. Should a cafe be able to move people along, privatize the sidewalk?
Should cities allow them to put out such chairs at all? Should people have special rights on the sidewalk, even sitting on private property, sitting on the chairs and at the tables of cafes? Give me a call at 423-4833. 423-4833 for your view on this issue. Back in Santa Cruz, you don't have to be sitting on someone's private property. You can be sitting on public property. You can be leaning on public property and face a citation, face harassment, face fine, and potential jail. That's what happened to two women, employees of Pizza My Heart, at 1 o'clock in the morning a couple of nights ago. Listen up.
12:55 at Cathcart and Pacific area, in front of the Acapulco restaurant. Here we have several police officers. The inevitable officer, Eveleth.
Thank you for videotaping.
Stopping three younger people. Hi, folks.
Yeah. On their way home from work for leaning against a fountain.
A water fountain?
And he's going to write her a citation.
Really?
Did you want to be on video?
So, are you a part of this or just watching?
I'm watching. I'm in private recording.
Right. Well, this looks like a major crime, as usual.
Yes.
What's the actual
name?
What is it?
Yeah.
You're running
around? I'll explain it to you since I'm the
one. So, how long have you been watching this?
About 5 minutes.
Yeah, describe what you've seen.
This young lady just arrived on the scene and was leaning against the fountain. Yeah, and the cop came by and said, don't sit on the fountain. And the other lady got off work and came out and was like, hey, what's going on? And came down and sat on the fountain. And right as she sat on the fountain, like, this girl leaned against it, and the cop pulled up, and he came out just all... Rah-rah, I'm a cop, and I got a hassle for sitting against that. And from my vantage point, 2 feet away, she wasn't sitting on it, she was leaning against it. The other girl may have been sitting on it, but no, she's helping us out. That girl in the red sweater was like, she sat down, but she hadn't been, you know, warned about it. She was in work, so she came out and sat down. And he's like really writing her a citation for sitting and stuff.
Well, this officer has a reputation for doing this. He writes these tickets and they get thrown out in court.
And just waste taxpayers' money.
Right.
Not tonight.
Okay. But the object is to, I don't know, to satisfy his own rather strange sense of obsessive ticketing or to drive people off the mall. We're not sure which.
Me?
In 3 weeks they're going to be doing curfew stops on people because of this.
I am.
I'm not because I sat on it.
What's your name, criminal sitter?
My name is Leah.
Last name, Leah?
Scurto.
How do you spell that?
S-C-U-R-T-O.
Well, Leah, hang in there.
I will, man.
Yeah, this stuff is... So were you out here for this? I mean...
No, we just passed by.
It's an incredible waste of, you know, our public dollars and stuff.
I know, man, dude. I was wondering
what the sound is going to break. Come on.
Serve this public.
Does that look like a sittable fountain? It looks like it's designed.
So, you got a phone number you can be reached at.
That's what I thought.
Who's listening to the tape?
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. Actually, give me the phone number off tape and I'll call you up. Watch this episode where two police cars, count them, are parked here at 1 o'clock in the morning down near the Del Mar Theater, stopping two young women who are, one of them employee at Acapulco, the other one attempting to go home, for the purpose of giving them a ticket for leaning against or sitting on a drinking fountain structure that obviously is in no way damaged by anything they're doing. Has a flat surface where it's easy to sit, and they're bothering no one at this time of night. Why Officer Mark Eveleth is engaging in this kind of behavior, only his superiors know for sure, and probably even they are uncertain.
Ma'am, I can't get a drink.
What's your name again? First name?
Leah Skirto.
And Leah, give us the story. What happened here?
I was sitting on this thing, and he drove by and said, "Please do not sit on that." And then he drove around the circle, and I was leaning on it like this. And he said I was, and then she sat on the edge of it right as he pulled back up, and he came and gave me a ticket.
So you, just because you wouldn't do what he said.
Well, no.
Why are you so disobedient?
No, dude, I did do what he said. I wasn't sitting on it. I was leaning on it the second time.
That's a good defense,
by the way. But he told me leaning is like lying, and you can't lie on it either.
No, that's
so.
Not true.
That's kind of like
actually,
lying.
There is a law yeah. that makes it illegal to stand, sit, or lie on public property, but leaning is not illegal because...
Well, he told me leaning was like lying. So
right, no, that's not accurate. Because see the little pickets over there that... separate the fence, that little stakes along the wall there. There was a fellow about a month ago who was given a ticket for leaning against one of those. The judge came out to the sidewalk, found that even if he had been leaning, that was not illegal because it was not covered by the statute. Not that any of it should be. There's nothing wrong with sitting on this thing. And what we do need is we need about 100 people sitting up and down the mall so they can give everybody tickets and we can show them what's really going on here. Anyway. But let me give you...
Keith needs to keep it, so like...
Keep...
Women work... You three all work here at Pizza
Mart. I
want to
lean so fucking bad, dude!
Here, just don't, whatever you do, don't lean. It's a killer.
I gotta stand, okay?
You know, it's public property, you know, we can't sit down on the ground. It's not our ground.
I know.
It's their ground.
Fucking
it should be common ground. But anyway, so you were coming to pick her up?
She works in the Capitola store. I work here. I'm the supervisor, so everyone was waiting out front.
Pizza my heart.
Right. And everyone's waiting out front, so I can set the alarm and come lock the door. So I lock the door, I come out, I lean, maybe I sat, I don't know, against the water fountain, and Leah, who just got off work to come get me, started giving me a back massage. And that's when the police came up and rudely interrupted my massage.
I know.
And then gave her a ticket.
Well, obviously they were stopping a criminal form of sexual behavior here on the mall.
Yes,
you both should be ashamed of yourself.
Lewd and indecent exposures.
Right.
I didn't get
I don't know what to say.
Been warned
by
violent behavior.
Warned, but dude, I seriously was not. Was I sitting on it the time he came back? I was not sitting on it. I was just leaning on it.
She was leaning.
So I was leaning.
What in God's name am I working to pay taxes to pay their?
I know.
And they're giving us tickets for whatever.
Police harassment in downtown Santa Cruz doesn't simply extend to the nighttime hours. Here's some tales that I picked up from the mall the next day. Judge for yourself. See what you think.
All right, it's 3:20 here in front of Logos Bookstore. I'm talking to
Tandy.
And Tandy, you have a tale of amusement for us here at the new. You're anomalous. Yes, go ahead, anomalous.
Okay. At the liquor store, they now I have a 20-year-old rent-a-cops up there. Surveying the door, only letting two people in at a time.
And what's the reason for this? Is it any ideas?
Stealing, maybe.
And what liquor store are we talking about? The place up on...
across the street from Taco Bell on the end of Pacific.
Aha. Uh-huh. And how long have you been streetwise or wise on the streets or out here?
In Santa Cruz?
Yes.
Remember they wouldn't let us eat our burritos too?
What, oh yeah.
What's this?
She can tell that.
Tell us about the burrito incident.
We bought some burritos and from the burrito place right across from the liquor store. The big
Taco Bell?
No, the burrito place right next to the liquor store. They give me
Taqueria.
The big old super burritos. And we sat down in front of there to eat them and the two rent-a-cops wouldn't let us sit there and eat them.
What did they say to you?
The guy in the liquor store owns it and they're renting from there and he told them to kick us out. Yeah. Oh no, actually kick us in. They made us go inside to eat.
So you weren't allowed to sit in front of his store or in front of the taqueria?
In front of the taqueria.
Because they're renting from the guy who owns the liquor store.
So in other words, the very cafe where you bought the tacos would not allow you to sit down in front of it to eat them?
Bill,
we had to go inside. We couldn't sit outside.
Did they insist you wash your hands before you began to eat?
No, but I'm surprised they didn't.
What about your hairdo? Did they suggest a change of hairdo?
No. They just made us go inside. But it sucks because you buy something from a store and you can't even sit outside and eat it.
Your first name is?
Amanda.
We're all listening to that, everybody. All right, then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Later on.
Thank you for caring, man.
All right. We have another story coming up from Anomalous here.
Well, I don't know if it's really called police harassment because you're not really supposed to sleep in the parks or the forest around here.
Tell us.
But we were parked up on 9, a little ways up in the Redwoods last night, and we went camping, you know, just having a nice campfire, and we had a guitar and just chilling. And like in the morning, the cops came over. Actually, they were being pretty nice this time, though. They came over and asked us if we stay the night, and we were like, no, you know, and of course not. We'd just been here since 2 o'clock this morning. And they were pretty nice about it. They said that we could get a ticket if we stayed there again, though.
And have you...
They were reasonable.
Yeah. Were these police officers or rangers?
It was a 5-0.
Okay. And where do you usually sleep? If you don't sleep, do you sleep outside, I assume?
Either outside or at someone's house. Mostly outside. When I'm in Santa Cruz on the beach.
You get hassled on the beach?
Nope.
Because you're well concealed or because there's a tolerant policy?
I just think I'm lucky. I don't think it's a tolerant policy. I just think they never
see me. Do you sleep alone or in groups?
Sometimes alone. Mostly alone.
And as a single woman, do you have any trouble with that?
Nope.
Is that because you're trained in the arts of jiu-jitsu with your, 48 Magnum?
I can defend 47
myself. 47 Magnum? 43 Magnum?
I can defend myself.
And have you been forced to do that while in Santa Cruz?
Never in Santa Cruz.
Really? You attributed this to the fact that you have good social skills with people, or is Santa Cruz a more peaceful place, or what's the story?
Well, I think it's just like everywhere, you know, it's a city. There's going to have your ups and downs of people, different levels of heads. I don't know, I've mostly been pretty safe here.
Where are you from?
East Coast.
And it's different than the East Coast?
Sure.
And the East Coast, do you...
City-wise, it's kind of the same, you know, it's totally the same.
How are the attitudes toward travelers, counterculture people, homeless people here?
They're cool.
Don't go to any 7-Elevens.
Don't go to 7-Eleven.
And why do you say that?
That's true, because they kick us off their property every time we go there.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean depend?
Even if we buy stuff.
And
we're letting our dogs, like, use the bathroom or something outside of the building.
I see. So they frown on dogs peeing on the 7-Eleven property?
Well, we don't let them pee on the 7-Eleven property. We, like, take them out, like, in the grass next to the place or something.
Oh, but they're just paranoid about dogs?
I think they're just paranoid about us. They don't like our hair or something.
It's your hair, obviously. It has to be changed immediately. I like your hair, but that's me. Thank you.
Thank you.
James.
And James, you say you were here. We're actually at Cathcart and Pacific across from the food court. It's about 3:30 on August 16th, Saturday. And here's a fellow removing his bike and taking it off from a bike rack. But you said you saw someone actually getting a ticket for sitting on a bike rack?
Yeah, well, he was sitting there and the cop came up and was like writing him a ticket. So he was complaining about it. And then next thing you know, they're like searching him and arresting him. And they said that they were putting him in a drunk tank. But he wasn't like intoxicated beyond like compare.
What time of day was it?
It was the middle of the day.
Like, about 3 or 4 days ago?
Yeah, probably about 3 or 4 days ago.
Did it seem to you like that he was being...
He wasn't being like belligerent or anything. He was just like saying this.
Police were harassing him, you think?
Yeah, totally.
They searched him. They searched him without even telling him what he was being charged for.
Yeah.
How many police officers were involved?
Two.
Did you recognize them as seeing them around here? Or?
Yeah, they're here all the time.
Was Officer Eveleth, by any chance, tall fellow?
I don't know who that is.
We're always trying to keep tabs on Officer Eveleth. He's such an eager officer. Eager Eveleth, we call him. Anything else you want to add?
No.
Thank you, James. So we had a word with Gremlin. Hey, Grandma, what's the name of your puppy?
Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. Cool. So, Gremlin and his puppy, Chardonnay. And he says that as a black man, he's He's been stopped on the mall. He was told...
He says he was actually told to get off the mall. Now, whether that was because he had a small puppy with him or whether it was independent of that context wasn't clear, but it certainly didn't sound friendly.
Your name, sir?
Colby.
And what did you see?
I saw this cop, two cops come up on bikes to this kid that was just chilling on the bench. And they came up and they just started asking him, like, all these questions, like, where'd you just go now? Like, it's any of his business anyway. And then, next thing I know, homies in cuffs sitting on the curb, and I haven't heard any rights read or nothing like that. Not even a hint of it.
How many people were cuffed?
Just one, just the kid they were harassing.
And how many policemen were involved?
Two. And then another one came to pick him up. But it's like, kid didn't hurt anybody in any way, shape, or form. That whole scene was just unnecessary.
When was this?
Just the other day, man.
Like yesterday or the day before?
The day before.
And this was, what, near the bench where we're standing, which is right across from the Del Mar Theater?
Actually, it was like right up over there.
Up, you're pointing up to Cathcart and Pacific.
Just a couple of benches.
Near Logos, maybe, or perhaps a bit beyond.
I don't know, man. The way I look at it, no victim, no crime, you know? And, like, I don't harm anybody in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not out here to steal from anybody, but yet I feel like I gotta watch my back for these cops that run around trying to get you for stupid shit that catches up to you later on down the line. Like, worthless things, man. Like, no crime, you know? And yet there's these people that are out here running around with guns and, like, stealing shit and, like, hurting people. And they're worried about me playing the guitar on the planter or whatever, you know?
Has this happened to you? Have you been given a problem for doing that?
I've been told that I can't sit there, and I moved, you know, but I don't know. It's just intimidating for these guys to be walking around with guns. I don't know who they are, but they can just come up to my world like they know me or something, you know? They ain't right. I don't like it.
Thank you.
But what can I do about it, you know?
Well, what you're doing. Talking about it for one thing.
Cool,
sharing
man.
Sharing it with other people.
What's your name?
I'm Robert.
Cool, man. It's nice to meet you.
Hey, pleasure.
Should get some kids with video cameras out here sometimes and just be like, I'm observing the public safety services.
Sure. She has a video camera, and I think there was a group called Cop Watch that was trying to do that. If you're interested, you should give a call to... I'll give you a flyer.
You can have this, too.
I'm into keeping my eye out now, but I'm busting out to Colorado probably soon. But, like, things need to be changed all over, you know? Like, the cop situation isn't just messed up here. I've been going around this summer just traveling around, and I find that most of the towns that I've been to are a lot the same but different than this one, you know?
Where have you been this summer?
Colorado, Oregon, mostly just West Coast, Northwest, and all around, Oregon, Washington.
How does Santa Cruz compare?
It's just the same but different, but it's like, I don't know, same but different.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides, Sundays at 11 with Bathrop's Pier Robert Norse, that's me, and interviews from the past few weeks at political events and down on the mall, covering civil rights for poor people in Santa Cruz and around the California area. Now let's slip back to Julia Vinograd to hear another one of her unpublished poems. Julia Vinograd, brilliant Berkeley poet of the streets.
People slipped through the crack. I talked to a man who wasn't there. Well, that's not exactly fair, he said. The cold still gets me, and I only go invisible when the cops come, and I can't keep it up for long. It's like holding your breath to hold light away from your skin. You just have to know how. But I'm not like those imaginary people crazies are always losing arguments with, at least not yet. He sounded a little wistful. Would you like that, I asked? No, no, he shrugged. It'd be easier. I always have to check the back of my knees. I keep leaving them behind. Not fingerprints, they were easy. He held up his hand and the line spun for me like a child's whirligig in the wind. Imagine that people don't get cold, but they're stuck with their crazies. I suppose I'll just go on like this till I'm hit by a truck that didn't see me. He laughed, the sound low in his throat, like a beaten dog afraid to come close enough to a fire. I wondered how old he'd been before, and how many other people weren't there. No, it isn't fair.
Nice.
Okay, this is called the go-away wind. An unpeopling wind blows and those that touch, shudder, and blur till there's no one left but a smudge blocking the sidewalk with theoretical fingerprints. An uncounting wind blows one, two, three, down and out, don't count anymore. A sudden wind blows birth certificates whirling into a spring rainstorm, chased by barking dogs till the soggy ink runs like black tears of the unborn. No such person. We don't see spirit changers, ghost hands, any more than we see our own ghost noses. An undead, many-headed wind blows everyone off welfare, because safety nets are bad for self-esteem, and self-esteem ingrains coffins and triplicates. I phoned the Constitution, and the phone was off the hook. Busy, 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 nobody home. But I can't make righteous noises. I'm afraid of my own face stiffening in the go-away wind. The monster under the bed lives in the mirror. If everyone thrown off welfare winds up spirit changing in the street, I'll break my neck trying to look away. The best I can say for myself is I'll probably fail. I can't change the wail of that go-away wind, that downsizing wind going down on the dead. But I won't pretend it's a nice day. A cold wind rises where there's only so much, and anyone with a food stamp or a rag doll must have stolen it. Maybe for me. We're clutching at everything to keep off that wind, but it doesn't work. Big wind blowing away. Who were they when they had names?
That's Julia Vinograd, whose latest book is Cannibal Carnival, and whose forthcoming book, Dead People Laughing, will soon be available on the streets. She usually sells it herself up on Telegraph Avenue, sitting in the Mediterranean Cafe or out on the sidewalk from which you heard that earlier interview. If you want to get copies of any of her 43 books, and she's written a lot of them, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I'll put you in touch with her up north in Berkeley. You can also often find her stuff in bookshops, though I don't know if local bookshops are carrying Julia's stuff. They should be. You can go in and ask them. That's Julia Vinograd, V-I-N-O-G-R-A-D, also known as the Bubble Lady of Berkeley, for walking around and blowing big bubbles at crucial times. In terms of updates here in Santa Cruz, not a lot going on that I'm aware of, except briefly Crossroads' Chris Brozda, who some of our listeners may know as the rather intemperate activist who has been jailed repeatedly over the last few months, perhaps justified in some cases, certainly not in others. In one case he was pepper sprayed for riding his bicycle the wrong way, or making actually a left turn the wrong way, and being pursued by Officer Richardson, who caught him in the vestibule of the Golden West restaurant at 1 or 2 in the morning, and you heard the tape of that pepper spraying on this radio station when he called me up and was pepper sprayed on the phone for not giving the officer due attention. Strange. Anyway, he pled out to several charges. He's now at liberty and has been rather low profile. Crossroads Chris, or Crosswires Chris, as I call him when he goes off the deep end, and he has occasionally become, he gets abusive on different occasions. But he also is a very articulate and intelligent individual who has written and spoken extensively on homeless issues. One of his particular concerns has been the community house boondoggle, which is a $2 million 40-person transitional housing trailer project supervised and masterminded by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, a group that has been fundraising on behalf of the homeless, which runs the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program. Not a bad program, though not enough, and not just not enough, but really kind of a pathetic fig leaf at the moment. It has 28 spaces in the summer. Anyway, RASDA always was coming before City Council demanding to know what was going on with this project. The project has still has gotten nowhere in terms of any kind of real facilities for homeless people. It's they're supposed to put down 10 trailers next to the Homeless Community Resource Center area out at River and Highway 1, and that area is still vacant, fenced off. It used to be an area where people could use as a campground. It did for 2 years. Now there is no campground. There are no trailers there. They got essentially $2 million in construction costs, and I guess that's going to be first-year rentals coming down the pike, and it's going to be a transitional program that only very screened people can get into, and a rather restrictive program that's going to be supposedly no drugs, no alcohol, no visitors. It's kind of a strange situation with the new fashion for transitional programs rather than emergency programs. That's how you can get money from the feds and from the state, by showing you're not just throwing money at ridiculous things like helping people survive in an emergency, but you're supposedly transitioning them back into mainstream society. What it really is, of course, is jobs for middle-class bureaucrats for these pretty-sounding programs that in some cases work and in some cases don't, but meanwhile the great majority of people go begging for shelter and find themselves running afoul of anti-homeless laws like our city's sleeping ban. And apropos of the sleeping ban, there is a new group that is formed that is trying to put an initiative on the 1998 general election ballot in November that would overturn parts of the sleeping ban. Actually, the sleeping ban itself, that's a part of the camping ban, the city's anti-homeless law around sleeping outside. One section says you can't sleep after 11 anywhere outside except in a fenced-in side yard or a backyard. That section, which criminalizes sleeping itself, would be, at least in, that's what they seem to be discussing, they haven't finally finalized the wording, that section would be struck. A second section on covering up with blankets or bedding would be struck, saying you can indeed wrap a blanket around yourself after 11 without being worried about whether you're going to be arrested by the police. That may sound like some kind of weird joke, folks, but it's not. It's not always enforced, but it certainly is enforced at political protests, particularly political protests against the sleeping ban itself. Those sections are going to be up for grabs, according to the circulators of this initiative. If you want to join in this initiative, you should give a call to Becky Johnson, who is originating this project and managing it. I'm kind of skeptical about it, actually, since I've always felt that there's not that much political support in Santa Cruz among the voters, and not that much organizational support among the activists to get this kind of thing done, but who knows? I'd love to be proved wrong. Anyway, her number, if you want to help her with this effort, is 429-8529, and her group, the Sleep Band Busters, or whatever they call themselves, meets every Tuesday at 12:30 at her house. So if you're interested in kind of jumping on board this, get down and give her a call at 429-8529, or show up at her house at 1019 North Branciforte Street in Santa Cruz. That's three blocks off of water. Tuesday at 12:30. That's 12:30 in the morning. In the afternoon, folks. You show up in the morning, you might fall asleep, and then Becky would have to have you arrested, a law-abiding citizen that she is. Also, on the front pages of last week's Street Shit Sheet, which you can still get through giving me a call at 423-HUFF, is the Balderos case. Mad Mike the Wonder Dog is still in jail awaiting trial on charges of trashing City Hall. Now, I'm getting some interesting flack for my reporting on this. Mad Mike himself is worried that publicizing his case will result in the prosecution getting meaner and nastier, or perhaps in vital evidence being revealed to the prosecution. We're trying to be very careful about this and not say anything that hasn't already been put out, or that we haven't gotten from independent sources. We're not, revealing information in his police reports and so forth. But his case, I think, is an important one, not just for him alone, but for all of us. The police seized this black activist 2 or 3 days after City Hall was trashed on the say-so of Kitten Reynolds, who I used to call Spittin' Kitten, and I now call Cop's Claw Kitten, because she seems to be a perfect tool for the police to use to discredit homeless activists, and in the process, lock up Mad Mike, as he humorously calls himself. He's being accused of vandalism, burglary, and arson for the City Hall break-in. And the main evidence against him, as revealed in the preliminary hearing, I'm not revealing any secrets here, is the testimony of Katrina Kitten Reynolds, who we found out a week ago and we confirmed a couple of days ago is being held by federal authorities in Las Cruces, New Mexico, on charges of giving a false report to federal authorities about a truck of explosives going to Albuquerque, and also possession of methamphetamine for use and or sale. This is the reliable witness that Santa Cruz police have used to hold a man in jail for 6 weeks. This is the reliable witness that that Miguel Balderas' public defender has not challenged in court. This is the reliable witness that prosecutor Ellen Campos has used as justification for keeping Miguel Balderas behind bars. This is a disgrace. Now, I don't know whether Balderas broke into City Hall or not. He certainly hasn't told me he has. But from the evidence that's been presented, they don't have shit. And what they're doing here is they are covering their asses because a break-in happened not 100 yards from the police department, and they have egg on their faces, and they are embarrassed. And it's also a convenient way of blaming homeless activists who did a 7.5-month protest outside City Hall, a peaceful protest, I might add, that was responded to by inappropriate force by both city council members and by the police department itself. And they are trying to smear this homeless movement, which is now trying to get something on the ballot, with these bogus charges against Balderas. It's interesting that the main antagonist to the vigil, and the one who proposed to shut it down with all kinds of draconian injunctions, who had directed that a sign be carried off which criticized him, that's former mayor and city council member, currently Mike Rotkin, or Riot Act Rotkin as I call him, actually spoke up defending the vigilers, saying that he recalled an incident where last year a window was found open at City Hall, and the vigilers, even though they could have broken in, they could have stole things, they could have trashed things, and they were plenty mad at the city, did nothing of the kind. Instead, they called the authorities and told them to close it. This is the same vigil that the city locked out of the restrooms and then accused of pissing on the lawn. It's quite something. Anyway, there's a man in jail who's probably going to be angry with me for even mentioning this issue on the air, but I think it's one that we should all be publicly concerned with. And he's there because of the same kind of anti-homeless bigotry that is behind the sleeping ban, in my view. And certainly the same kind of prosecutorial abuse that's being used daily to overcharge and send to jail people for victimless drug war crimes. The Community Action Board and Paul Brindell, who occasionally helps people get emergency shelter vouchers from hotels when they're have medical emergencies, is trying to document the need for an expanded summer interfaith satellite shelter program. As you may know, there are less than 30 spaces for more than 750 homeless people in Santa Cruz. Although, of course, many of them would choose not to use a shelter program, they are all subject to the anti-homeless sleeping ban. And certainly there should be places for people who want to escape from that ban, and there aren't, for at least 9 months of the year, and probably for the whole year, unless the governor turns around and reopens the armory. And of course, there are reasons that a number of people don't use the armory, which we've discussed on this program and will discuss as we go into the fall and winter months, if it's opened again. Anyway, if you want to help in this process of expanding potential emergency shelter with the Summer Interface Satellite Shelter Program, may end up being the fall and the winter program, give a call to the following number, 457-9754, extension 555. That's 457-9754, extension 555. And tell them if you have given up on looking for emergency shelter in Santa Cruz and why. Have you been turned away from a shelter program because it was full or for some other reason? Did you choose risking a ticket by camping or staying in your vehicle rather than trying to use a shelter? Leave a message to that effect. This will give him more ammunition to push the city on that issue. The city is now claiming that, oh, well, we don't have enough shelter, but at least in the winter, anybody who wants to go into the armory can do it, which, of course, isn't true for a number of reasons, but it certainly isn't true during the spring, summer, and fall. And that's about it for the August 17th, 1997 edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. You have indeed been listening to that program, which comes on every Sunday at 11. If you have comments, give a call to 423-4833. Gosh, I'm saying every Sunday at 11, and every Sunday at 11 the last few weeks I've been saying this is the end of the road for this show. You know, I kind of hope it is, because as I said, I can't do everything, and the street shit sheet I'm putting out, which I recommend you read, is much more compact and useful, I think, than a show which gets out to probably very few people. But if you've been enjoying the show and you want to see it continue, give me a call and let me know about it. And do listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. They've got lots of good shows, lots of dedicated people, and they need lots of help, as usual. Call them if you got a studio space for them. They could use it. We could all use it. Thanks again.